Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We about to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. And don't forget this weekend, as the run to the Roses is on at the Kentucky Derby. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey there, Marcus Dash here, co-host of Chief Concerns. At the conclusion of this episode, please make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast right here on YouTube. And for all you listeners out there, please be sure to give us a 5-star review on any of the platforms you use to listen to us. I want to thank you all for listening to us throughout the season, and we look forward to engaging with you all throughout the offseason. Enjoy the episode. Hey, guys, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm here with our guy, former tight end Jason Dunn. Jason, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother? What's going on? Happy, happy, happy day. Happy week. Yeah. Good draft last week, man. So that's what's going on right now. We're coming in with all these new picks, new guys coming into the building, new faces, and it's exciting. And I'm glad the draft is over. It's done with, you know, like it or love it. Hey, you know what? This is who's on the roster right now at this moment. And the guys got a chance and opportunity to change their life. And I'm here for all of it. And so I'm celebrating them. They wearing the red and white, and the Chiefs is on they helmet. That KC right there, right here, baby. If it's right there, I'm all for you. That's how I look at it right now, man. So you a Chief. You officially here. Guess what? Congratulations for making it. All right. Now going to the next step. Now it's to get up that 53-man roster that's going to be traveling with the team. And you make it a difference. And so hats off to you. Let's go, boys. Let's go get it. So that's where I'm at, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. And I'll echo that. I mean, I didn't play in the NFL. Obviously, you guys know that. But, you know,
it's the start of something else. And I think seeing people at the draft, you know, booing picks, it's like, I know that comes with the draft territory and sports in general, those boos and stuff. But, you know, all these kids have worked their butts off to get to where they are, you know, whether they came from a small school, big school, you know, whether they just picked up the sport a couple of years ago, they made it to this point, you know, a lot of hard work got there. So, you know, hats off to everybody, whether they're wearing red, Patriot Navy blue, you know, Cleveland Brown, orange, you know. So, yeah, hats off to all those kids. And for the Chiefs this weekend coming up, I think May 7th is a rookie mini camp. So that's it's a big first step into the rest of their careers.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge step, man. I mean, look, everything changes from this day on. Nothing's going to be the same. And so this when you get into, you know, achieving one of your goals that you wanted to be able to achieve your entire life, you worked hard to do. You're thinking about how these things are going to just affect not only your life, but your family's life, how everything just, I mean, it's going to be different. It's going to be faster. It's going to be a whole different world that you're not used to. And so it's a good thing because it's about growth. It's about getting more experiences and, you know, you're going to have some help. You're going to have some help with some guys that's out there. And so guys in the facility, you know, guys on the team, you know, everybody's going to come in, you know, on their toes, chest sticking out. Everybody's going to try to look bigger, look stronger than they really are. And, you know, that's part of the deal, man. When we first go in, you just, everybody's sizing each other up, right? And of course, how it always happens, you know, when you're playing, you know, kind of who's getting drafted sometimes. You know, the guys that's coming in the building, and sometimes you see faces like, man, who's this guy? But like, yeah, he's a tight end. Okay. All right. I got you. Cool. Hey, man, welcome to the Chiefs. You know, hey, let's go get it. So now this is definitely going to be, you know, life changing without a doubt. And so, like I said before, man, hats off to these guys, man, and to their families, and much success in the future.
Yeah. And so the title of this episode is post-draft debrief. So obviously with the draft, got a lot of things to talk about. JD, in our run up to this, JD had some, actually selected some of these guys in our Chief Concerns mock draft. So you guys may have already had a background on some of these guys because of our mock draft, but yeah, lots to get into this week because with the draft and the post-draft stuff, even 2 days after the draft, Veach is making moves. So we're going to get into it right now. So the first concern of the night, obviously, mock draft season's over. I'm sure everyone's really happy to stop seeing these mock drafts being shared all the time on Twitter and any social media. But pretty much every Pro Football Focus, everyone had the Chiefs having one of the best drafts, either top four. I've seen A+, and I've seen some like algorithms that showed it took all the different websites. And we were pretty much in between a B+ and an A from every outlet out there. And that was great to see. And obviously, you know, PFF, they do a lot of their analytics and algorithms to have these guys. And we were getting guys in like their top 100 to the fourth round. So pretty good on Veach. So JD, of all the guys we drafted, what did you like about our draft? Any player specifically? And is there anything that you would have done a little bit differently than what Brett Veach did last week?
Yeah. So I'll start off with this. I loved our draft. I think we got an A, no doubt about it. In our draft, one of our strategies going in was we wanted to get tougher and better on defense, right? We wanted to address some of the holes and the issues that we had on defense. And I think we did that. I think, you know, Veach went in, Andy and those guys went in and had a clear understanding about what it is that they wanted to do. And so we addressed the secondary because we definitely needed secondary help. We knew Honey Badger was going to be able to go, you know, hats off to him going to New Orleans, you know, and so much success to him in the rest of his career, what he's doing. But we knew getting Justin, what's the name of the end? Justin Reed in was like one of those steps. And so what we did, we bolstered, like you said, the secondary, getting McDuffie in. I mean, look, we got a great guy, a great corner, one of the surest tacklers in the guys in that secondary that you had as corners. And so I think that was a great move going to get McDuffie. And I said, you know, in my mock, what I was thinking was, yeah, DB, Kiara Elam. And so he went next, you know, so we knew we had to address that And Jared Page was talking about that last week. Like, look, there's things that you have to do to support the guys on the offensive side. And so we did that. And then we got Kalafakis, man, the Greek freak, everybody did look, the Greek freak too, you know, hey, whatever you want to call the guy, right? We say he's going to have to go ahead and get into a name sometime soon. But hey, man, look, this guy right here, high motor guy, you know, he's going to be relentless. You know, he's going to get after guys. He's not going to stop. And that's what you need. You need that on the defensive line. And so we addressed that as far as defensive end slash edge guy. And then also, too, what we end up doing when he got Sky Moore, which was a great pick. I think Sky Moore is one of those guys who is, you know, 5'10", about 195, I think. But he's a guy that can play inside a slot. He can play outside. That's a good thing about it. He's versatility. And so he's got pretty decent speed, but he's got great hands, got great range. He kind of runs like a running back. That's what he does when he catches the football. So he's going to get a lot of yak yards, and he's going to get a lot of opportunities during this year in playing. And so hats off to getting him going in. And we'll talk about my man that I thought, and I kept going. I said, I could not get past this guy. I could not get past this guy. And I'm thinking, hey, maybe, you know what? Maybe the Chiefs was looking at some of the stuff that we was doing on Chiefs Concerns. Like, you know what? Hey, JD just played a game before. He's been a tight end. He knows the Clarfus. He knows the defensive ends to go get, right? Now he's talking about Cook, a safety, who's a hard-hitting safety, a big safety, who understands, you know, spacing, you know, areas where it needs to be. He just seems to be a football player, needs to be around the ball all the time. And that was like one of my top picks. And I'm glad he went and got him, man. I was really high on this guy. I liked him a lot. And thank God he's a Chief. And then we just been talking about like other guys that we got. We got Kennard, you know, in the fifth round, which was without a doubt a steal. So we're talking about one of the best linemen in SEC, okay? So all the guys that went in the draft that, you know, he went against from Alabama and Georgia, look, Kennard was there and he played well against them, right? Did tremendous things at Kentucky. Like I said, one of the greatest linemen in SEC this past year. We get him in the fifth round. So hats off to that man, beating him, getting a guy that we definitely surely needed, who without a doubt, in my estimation, will probably start at right tackle. I know they was talking about going to the guard. We know Trey Smith is where he's supposed to be. Okay. Right now, right tackle is a need. And I think this guy right here comes in. I think, you know, shores down a little bit, maybe he's cut a little bit weight, right? Get his body acclimated to the NFL, getting against these guys. He's going to get some good, solid work against these guys that we just drafted. Plus, not to mention the guys we just got here, you know, we have already. And so he's going to fit in well for us. I'm trying to think who else we had to think. I had the whole list for us.
The linebacker from Wisconsin.
Yes, sir. Look, I was looking for us to get a linebacker. I really was. And the thing was, when I was kind of going through my mock, it was two guys that kept jumping out to me. And I'm glad we got a physical guy that was athletic. I mean, he's off the charts with his athletic ability. It was him and it was Muma. And it was two guys I was looking at. I was just like, man, those guys, if you get a chance to get these guys, you almost got to take them. And so I'm glad we got him, man. He's going to be a great pick for us. And a lot of this, man, we got to understand, when you get guys, you're thinking about them absolutely starting where they fit into your defense, but also too, some of the guys I just mentioned, also it's about special teams. That's how you make, you know, the teams and how you make the roster. You got to fit about the special teams, like guys that we'll talk about a little bit later, that, you know, some of these corners we got also too later on in the draft. You know, are they going to be willing to play special teams? Are they going to be great tacklers? And you got to make sure that it's part of one of the things that you're thinking about in your strategy and picking these guys, how big they're going to be on special teams. And Chanel, like I said, man, he's going to come in and he's going to play a lot. He's going to be a guy on special teams. He's going to be making a lot of tackles. He might get a couple blocks here and there, man, on punts. I think I highlighted him blocking a punt. So, man, he's got the athletic ability to do all of that. So, he's going to be a great Chief man for us, without a doubt. Those guys, it's a few guys I just named. And like you said, who's your favorite guy on here? Man, I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite guy. I just, this draft, to me, was it was lights out, no doubt about it. Now, what I will say is this. If I did something different, here's what some of my difference would be. I thought we would address maybe the edge more than what we did, defensive end, like more like a, you know, specialized pass rusher that I was kind of looking for, like later on down the road in the draft. Like we could have gotten him probably maybe the fifth or sixth round, possibly, you know, getting a guy. And, you know, we didn't. So I was like, it kind of was a head scratcher. But look, the secondary is, man, we on point with all of that. And I like the guys that we have in the room. I would just think of like for some younger, you know, hungry guys that's going to get after it. But also, too, man, you got to see what they're going to be able to do. I mean, once you get into the OTAs, you know, get into the training camps, you're going to see what guys, hey, look, you know what? There's still guys out here that's that are free agents that we can still sign. So that's not something that is, you know, out the window that we still not able to address. Let me put it that way. So I think they're kind of waiting on that. You know, I know they said JPP and all these guys are still out this way. So, hey, guess what? Clowney, these dudes, will they work in this system? Hey, probably. We'll just have to see. We'll see where that's going to go. So that might have been different. I would have maybe looked for another edge guy. And another guy I was looking for was kind of wide receiver. I think another wide receiver, just for the simple fact, okay, and this is just forward thinking. If there is a possibility that, you know, Juju's on a one-year deal, Hartman's here, and they decide to leave or something doesn't work out, then we have MVS, Sky, and then all the other guys that we're still trying to find out and figure out how they fit into the offense. If you get a guy here that you're saying, look, we're going to go ahead and put a young guy in, and the dudes I was looking at, I'm going to tell you two names. Now, we didn't get them, so it was Khalil Shakur, okay, and it was Dobbs, right? I think it was Nevada, right? Yeah. So, yeah, so they was two guys I was like, yo, you know, we get those two guys. Like, I'd have been all right that because they had a lot of talent to them, a lot of athleticism, could do some things out with the football. But we didn't get that guy. But that's all right. But I like what's in the room. Matter of fact, when I'm looking in the room right now, that room's really crowded. I'm starting to look really crowded. But we did address that guy. Hold on. I'm going to say this. Now, just now popping my head. We got a young guy here that everybody wasn't talking about in Justin Ross. And so I'm going to say this, man. Look, I remember the guy in Clemson, you know, national championship game and stuff that he was doing then, right? He was almost like a forgotten name because people weren't really talking about him. And I seen that we got him, like, we got Justin Ross here? I completely forgot about this guy. Completely forgot about him. But obviously, everybody kind of backed away because of the medical, right? Kind of talked about those things. But I think he's a guy that we can utilize if everything works out well, which I think it will. I mean, you know, Clemson, hey, he came back to play for them. You know, Chiefs cleared him on his medical. So I think he's going to be fine. So he's a sneaky guy that we got. So I apologize for that. I forgot Justin Ross. See, I forgot about him again. Here he is. He's on a roster. So that's where I'm at, man. That's how I feel about the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought based on the mocks that we did, mock draft that we had on the show, and then what Jared said last week on the show, if you're going to draft a cornerback, you draft the top three. He had Stingley, Sauce Gardner, and then and then McDuffie. We got McDuffie, and we'll get to it later. But we talked about we were texting. It seems like that we have a specific type of cornerback build. We obviously McDuffie's 5'11". A little shorter than the other guys that we drafted later on the draft, 6'2", 200 type cornerbacks, Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams. And then we got end up getting Lonnie Johnson Jr., which we'll talk about at the end of the show. Yeah. And then, you know, Chennault, athletic linebacker. I mean, our linebackers between the three that we have, Willie Gay, Bolton, and Chennault. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be fun to watch those three. I mean, that's an athletic three, which, You know, Neiman, you know, I know a lot of fans weren't the biggest fans of Neiman, but, you know, let's just say it's not an insult to say these guys, all three of these guys are more athletic than Neiman. And, you know, maybe Neiman had more of a game IQ, but these guys are athletic guys. You teach them, you know, X's and O's of what the schemes are. I think we're going to be set at linebacker for a long time. So, yeah, I really agree with what your assessment. I love the draft. I love what we did. It was like we went the needs. We checked all the needs that we went through. You know, we didn't get two receivers. We didn't get two edge rushers, but, you know, we checked all the needs and then we went BPA after that. I love texting you after we got Kennard, and I was like, wait, Mel Kiper saying he's a guard. He's a tackle. It's like he's going to move to guard, and you're like, no, he's not moving to guard. He's a tackle. And then they showed Brett Veach talking to him when they drafted him, saying, you know, we can't wait to have you compete at right tackle. So okay, there you go. He's right, right tackle.
Yeah, right. That's so. I don't know. Maybe they didn't quite know what the need was with the Chiefs. I don't know, but yeah, I didn't ever seen guard because we're good there with Trey, and then you know Kennard without a doubt could be a right tackle because that's need. That's a guy that we need right now. You know, Niang, we don't quite know how he's going to do coming back off his thing, and so you know having depth right there with Kennard, I mean it just makes you feel good just knowing you have that.
Plus, Andy Reid's offenses, I mean, O-lines in general, all those guys play guard, tackle. They're going to have to play all around, all versatile. And so if that's going to happen with Kennard, then sure.
Right. Interchangeable guys, man, no doubt about it. So he's getting guys that are football players. Like you said, it you know could go and plug and play in any position and do well at it, right? So, yeah. So good strategy on their part for that.
So moving to the next concern, you kind of mentioned this guy. A lot of Chief fans are really pissed off that we didn't draft Pickens. They wanted that big body receiver. We got Sky Moore. A lot of people were surprised because we thought we were getting away from the smaller stature receiver. Mm-hmm. Sky Moore, player comps, Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, Antonio Brown, guys that can play inside, outside. You know, it's solid receivers. I mean, 5'11" is not short, but it's not the tallest. But right. You know, I think people were thinking we're going to go a bigger body, and we did.
I get it. You know, everybody. That's all I kept hearing. You know, Pickens. Right. Look, man. And those guys to me, especially with the style of offense that we play. I get the big body receiver. Everybody's looking for that traditional guy. Everybody's looking for a DeAndre Hopkins or somebody, you know, they looking for a bigger guy. You know, to me, like Sky Moore is a guy that you can, like, he plays inside. He can play out. He's big enough for that. You know, and we're talking about maybe the style that we're doing offensively, like just kind of playing, you know, finding holes, finding windows, finding lanes that Patrick could throw to. Like I said before, 15 is going to be the guy to get the ball to you, right? And so, you know, everybody can be a jump ball. Look, Sky Moore's going to go up there and go get the ball, too. That's one thing. And I like sure-handedness. And one thing he has is sure hands. He has great hands on it. And so I think those things, as far as, you know, everybody looks for the prototypical this, prototypical that. Well, you know, sometimes guys don't necessarily fit in that box. You know, he's outside of this box, which you think may be an X or a guy out here. Look, if he's a football player, he catches the football well. You know, he plays big. That's what we talked about. He plays big. Hey, man, look, we can't discount what he can do out there on the football field. So he don't have to be 6'3 or 6'4 to go make plays, right? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase ain't 6'3 or 6'4, and that sucker was burning everybody last year. Well, you know, so let's just tell the truth about it. Look, he's a football player. He catches the ball well. He can get open. He runs great routes. That's the guy that you want, you know? So,
has a catch too. With that broken tackle stat, I think he led the NCAA in broken tackles. I mean,
absolutely right. And so I think a guy that is, you know, I look at like pro ready who can fit into any offense. He's a guy that can fit in any offense. I don't think you go wrong with this guy at all. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you get like tall receivers, it's like well, we can only do certain things with him. Can he get off the jam? Can he do this? Can he run by guys? And so that's always some of the questions, right? But I think somebody that you, when you're thinking tactically or doing things, you're like, look, you know what? Hey, we got to address, you know, guys, you know, catch radius, getting open, finding the windows, you know, like your yards at the catches. You know, we don't have to throw deep every time. Shoot, 5 yards, bubble screen, let him get to the house, go get his head on the goalpost. So that's what we're looking for. Sky Moore, he gives you that, right? He gives you that. So I'm happy with it, man. If people ain't happy with that pick, man, then I don't know what to tell you. True. So
yeah, it was funny, you know, because he comes from Western Michigan, plays in the MAC. I love watching MAC action football during the week. It's the only college football games I ever play Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. So I love watching MAC action football. But someone made a comment like, oh, yeah, they don't play Ball State in the AFC West. And my response was, and I know Tyreek Hill played for Oklahoma State, but before he got drafted, he went to Western Alabama. And I was like, can you name me who Tyreek Hill's opponent was in the conference he played at Western Alabama? Because it wasn't even Ball State. It was a competition less than that. So, and you have a problem with that. And I was Antonio Brown played Central Michigan. He was playing against Ball State. So
that's right. That's right. Me and Eve, when we was talking, I was like, look, who's the top receivers that you got, you know, of all time, right? And I'm like, Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, and we could say Randy Moss, right? I'm just those three. You know, it could be how you rate them, whatever. I'm saying, look, if we're talking about, you know, Jerry Rice, where he played at, okay?
Randy Moss.
Huh?
Mississippi Valley State.
Mississippi Valley State. Come on now. You know, HBCU. Then we're talking about Randy Moss and Marshall. Okay. And then we're talking about T.O., right? Yeah. At UT Chattanooga. So, look, man. Hey, if you could play ball, they're going to find you. Put it that way. And I don't care what you do. You can't measure that heart. You can talk about the competition. Yeah, that's one measure of it. But for every man that goes out there that's trying to ball, is trying to play, he's like, look, you can't take away from his will and his want to. And so if a guy's going to be good, he's going to be good. I know he was like, oh, they tall guys. Okay, well, yeah. But, yeah, like you said, Antonio Brown, hey, he ain't that tall guy, right? So you don't have to, like I said, you don't have to be 6'3", 6'4". But I think he's going to have a great career here, man. He's going to be a great weapon for Patrick to be throwing the ball to. So, yeah.
He's going to be exciting to watch. And seemed like a nice kid, you know, saying his name, be catching passes for Patrick Mahomes. And it was a cool moment seeing that. And there's a reason why all these mock drafts, all these experts had him going from anywhere from 15 to 28, and we end up getting him at 54. So, I mean.
He's a great player.
And it was a steal for us to get a guy like that where we got him.
Happy with it.
So, and then the next concern, we talk about that, it's a pretty typical receiver. And you mentioned him in the opening, was Justin Ross. And this is probably my most intriguing guy that we got this weekend, undrafted signing. Yeah. From what I read, it seemed like he chose to go to Kansas City. There's other teams that came to him, but he wanted to go to Kansas City as his first team. And quite frankly, why not? If you have a choice, if you have a chance and choice to go wherever you want to go. But So in case you don't know Justin Ross's history, so 2018, he was pretty much the number one receiver at Clemson when they won the national title. He was ahead of T. Higgins and Hunter Renfro. And this is as a freshman, sophomore year, ahead of T. Higgins and Hunter Renfro. And he was the leading guy on that team. At that point, people thought he was going to be going top 10 pick if he came out. And then so in 2020, during spring ball, he gets injured. And a normal hit, and they go and get a scan of his back. And they see that he has, let me get the proper word for it. They found that he had a congenital fusion in his spine, a condition he was born with, apparently, that he didn't know about. And apparently, medics and doctors, they don't want anyone playing any kind of contact sports when you have this condition. And, he's a football player. You know, these guys want to play football, you know, and he got surgery. Came out and everything was fine, but when it is a genetic thing, this can come back at some point, right? You don't know. It could, it may not. Yes. Comes out, misses the whole 2020 football season. 18-month recovery, comes back from his 18 months to play this past year, and he did, and no one thought he could do it. Man, people thought he was going to be done with football, and he comes back and does it. Led the team in receiving. His stats weren't off the charts like they were for the previous 2 years, but Clemson did kind of a down year. So when people say, oh, his numbers sucked last year, it's like, well, Clemson as a whole, the offense did not look like the offense that it had with his freshman sophomore year with Trevor Lawrence. They had like multiple quarterbacks. The offense didn't look right. But anyway, he also was playing on a stress fracture in his foot that he played on the entire season. He ended up getting surgery after the season was over on his foot. And he ended up missing the combine. He attended the combine, but he didn't do any of the drills there. Went to pro day, ran a 4.640. People just didn't like his workouts. Like it didn't look like he didn't test well, essentially. Okay. But a lot of NFL teams stayed away from him because of his whole spine issues. So a lot of teams kind of didn't red flag. They didn't want to deal with that. So they kind of stayed off of him. So draft comes, goes undrafted. Kansas City Chiefs come calling. They do. Our medical team cleared him, as you mentioned. And 6'4", 205. People wanted a big body receiver. They got a guy who with never had this injury, we wouldn't have gotten, because you've been a top 10 pick. We end up getting this guy because, you know, the medical. And hopefully if he stays healthy, I think we might have a guy on our hands. And I posted a video on our Twitter page from last year. I did 2018, 2019, then I showed 2021. Yeah, you can even tell the quarterback situation was completely different night and day. Yeah. But he even looked explosive, and you can see this explosive athlete. You know, those numbers probably weren't there, but he is explosive, and he's 6'4", 205. And he's awesome to watch. And it was a steal us getting him. So my question to you is, and you kind of mentioned it already, but what do you think if we can maximize this kid? Let's say he doesn't play this year. Let's say we put him on the PUP. He gets 1 year off to kind of, you know, get right physically, and everything. And let's say he does make the team. What do you think? What do you think we have here with Justin Ross?
You know what? I think a guy like this can turn a negative into a positive, especially after, you know, being diagnosed with this disease or whatever it is they found, this medical issue. I think, man, you may find like that diamond in the rough. I do believe that. A guy like this who, by all, you know, measures, that was doing well, like you said, 2018, 2019, until he got hurt and found this out, should just have a great opportunity. And I think, you know, Clemson is a great organization, right? Dabo does a great job with those guys, getting those guys ready to play in the NFL. That's why you see a lot of guys like that are, you know, on rosters. It's because Clemson is one of those programs, man, that puts out a lot of guys that do well in the NFL. And I think barring that he doesn't have any more issues with this medical diagnosis, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's a guy that can really latch on to this organization. And like I said, he could be a guy that, hey, you know what? You know, might have slowed you down a little bit, but Clemson cleared you. We cleared you. Hey, you know what? We'd love to have you. And he has his boy over here, Powell. Powell's here, right? And so Powell, I'm sure, is telling him all about the organization. So if he chose to come to the Chiefs, I mean, why wouldn't you? If I had a chance to go somewhere, I would want to go with the best quarterback in the business, for one, okay, that got one of the best coaches in the business, number two, okay, who's been to the AFC championships and Super Bowls in the past few years. Like, why would you want to go to a place like that, right? I mean, that's just, to me, that just makes sense. And you're going somewhere that you know somebody. So I think he's going to be a good guy here, man. I really do. Like I said, we don't know if things going to, you know, work itself out in that wide receiver room, but I hope he gets a roster spot. Shoot, he's going to have opportunity just like everybody else. And even if he doesn't get to play this year, right? Let's just say they still letting him develop, you know, get healthy and whatnot. He's there. He's somebody they get to learn over the time. And they're saying, okay, you know what? Yeah, you know, he's past this thing, or maybe they're able to manage it, or, you know, whatever. It's not going to have any indication that it's going to come back or really bother him. Good. We can use him in the future. I think that's a great pick of, like I said, just a future kind of standpoint of finding a guy like that. So, yeah, man, that's positive. That's positive for the team. I hope he makes it. I hope he does well. But a guy like that, tall guy, tall receiver, should you want it, ask. Here you go. You wanted a tall guy? Here you go. You wanted a guy that was dominant, you know, in college? Here you go. And so, you know, we had to think about, you know, going back to Pickens, we had to worry about medical things with him too. So there's things, you know, guys that just had to fight through, man. I hope he fights through this thing, man. He comes and does well with the Chiefs, man. But that's his performance is going to be measured. You know, it's going to be, you know, tested. But I think he's going to do well for us. So I think it's what we got, man. A good player, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and with Pickens, it's a great point you mentioned that, because a lot of people were pissed off we didn't get Pickens, but it was medical with Pickens, and also there was a bit of a maturity off the field issue with him. And there's nothing with that with Justin Ross. And quite frankly, you could probably say the opposite. A guy who had this injury that could have ended his career, he, you know, worked his butt off to get back on the field, and he did. Yeah, and that's the thing that people talk about, his times and how he didn't test well. You know, he ran like a 4.6 240, if I'm not wrong. He ran 4.6 240 his pro day. Mm-hmm. Drake London, who's similar in stature, I think he's an inch taller than him, but they're about the same. 6.4 6.5. Drake London ran 4.5 840. Okay. I mean, this guy ran 4.6 2. I mean, Yeah, it's coming off a stress fracture injury as well as the spinal injury. So, I mean, this, you know, 4.62, is that something that's like, is that like slow, JD?
I mean, it's you definitely want it to be faster than what the 4.62, no doubt about it. When everybody talked about, you know, Jerry Rice having a 4.5 speed, you know, you said, you know, this guy, hey, if he's fast on the field and he can make plays, that's all that matters. If he can play, he can go up and get the ball, and he can make catches that other guys can't make. He can get open. He can run great routes. That's the guy that you want on your roster. He ain't always gonna be the fastest, right? He ain't always gonna be the prettiest. But all daggone that sucker just make plays, and that's all you want to see. So if he comes in and puts a Chiefs uniform on, and he makes play after play, good for you. I put in my bio 4.6 at the top of it. You know, Justin Ross 4.6, still killing them. You know what I mean? That's what I do. So, yeah, man, I think we got a good one, man. I think it's gonna work out well for us. But yeah, man, look, you want a guy to be faster. Like I said, sometimes those things is putting them in a box. You want those measurables. You want those prototypical. I get it. Shoot, don't mean every guy that runs a 4.2 gonna catch a football. So, yeah. Hey.
And if he didn't run at the combine, I'm just thinking, you know, he didn't run at the combine because he was recovering from the stress fracture. Pro day was probably, 2 to 3 weeks later. I mean, how much more recovered was he from the combine to the pro day? You know, and he knew he probably had to give a time anyway because, you know, everyone was kind of scrutinizing, you know, him because of his medical. So he kind of had to run. Definitely probably wasn't his best time for sure. But I will say this, looking at Brett Veach's history, and I know he was undrafted, but look at what he did with Trey Smith. You know, we got a starting right guard late in the draft because of medical. Our team cleared him. And everyone always laughs. Oh, you're going to get a starting guard if you're sixth rounder. Well, we did. Guy who was supposed to. And who knows what could happen with Justin Ross, you know.
Play well. And look, but you're taking a chance on a guy, right? I mean, it ain't really cost you nothing. It cost you no pick. You can bring a guy in. See what you can get from him. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I know he wants to be here. So – yeah, man. Hey, give him a chance, opportunity to make the roster, right? He wants to show it. He knows. Look, we know he can play. Okay. The question is just a medical thing. And then it's kind of going back, like I said, to Pickens, the medical thing with him. The whole off-field issues, to me, I wouldn't really bother by that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really a big issue to me because sometimes these things be made, you know, we don't quite know everything what they are. But, you know, if this is a good kid, he won't come in, he works hard, he wants to try to make the roster, man, shoot, do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's going to be exciting to watch him grow. And I a guy who had top 10 potential, and obviously we wouldn't have gotten him if he continued just, you know, without his medical background, you know, we got this guy. And now, you know, with, you know, having a team in that's kind of supportive of you or cleared you medically is going to be, you know, supporting this guy. I'm excited to see what he can do with us. And we got our, you know, slot receiver in or Sky Moore. You can play him all over the place, but then you got, you know, the physical specimen in Justin Ross. And if you haven't already, please look at his 2021 highlights, because you're not going to – if you didn't know about his medical history, you wouldn't think there's really anything other than the fact that his quarterback play was a tad different from Trevor Lawrence. That's the only thing.
Here's to sprinkling some of that Trey Smith magic on him. All right, the little pixie dust, where you going to do, get them right. Here it is. Mr. Miyagi, get him ready. Get him right, baby. Let's go.
No, man, that's great. Okay, so our final topic tonight, our final chief concern is, you know, moves after the draft. I know we talked about doing trades in for guys, getting Bradberry. We didn't get Bradberry. And now, actually, they might be cutting him because they never did a trade. But so the smooth post-draft moves from our guy, Brett Veach. The Chiefs were able to trade a conditional seventh-round pick in 2024's draft, I believe, for fellow Kentuckian Lonnie Johnson Jr., who was a second-round pick in 2019. 6'3", 220 pounds, very similar stature to Josh Williams and Jalen Watson. He played safety and cornerback with the Texans, so versatile. But apparently, based on what Brett Veach said, and according to Lonnie Johnson's Twitter, he's going to be playing cornerback as his, and he's happy about that because he said he can build a base around playing one position, not being moved all over the place. So that's good for him. And then we placed a rarely used unrestricted free agent tag on Melvin Ingram. So in doing research on this, If Melvin Ingram does not sign a deal by July 30th, he will sign with the Chiefs at a 1 year, $4.4 million deal. If he doesn't find a better deal before that, that's the deal he'll end up signing. And I believe if he does get signed, we'll get a pick out of it, a comp pick out of it. So that's the whole.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
that's the whole thing. I don't understand why teams don't do this more often. I've never heard of such a thing. But we weren't the only team that did. We did that, and the Baltimore Ravens did that on Justin Houston as well. So two edge guys on the same day got the same unrestricted free agent tag on them. So okay. JD, okay. I know all offseason you've been talking about bringing Melvin back. What do you think about these moves and bringing in also another Kentuckian on the team?
I think it's a wonderful move. I think it's, to me, strategically, you're doing what's right for the team, for the defense, no doubt about it. Lonnie Johnson, man, he's a physical guy, physical corner. I like his length. Him playing corner out there, he gets to be physical against these wide receivers out there. And so I like it. I like Lonnie coming in and playing. And now he's got Justin Reed right next to him. You know, him Joker's back in the secondary together. So they're going to have a lot of, chemistry working together, man. Just a little bit more of that juice working at secondary. So it's always good, man. Sometimes just getting there, seeing your guy that you've been playing with for a couple of years, like, hey, man, this is cool. And he's going to do well, man. And I like it because we got some big receivers that we're going against, in our division. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to be ready. Need a good, big, physical guy to go against him. And we addressed that. But Lonnie coming in, like I said, man, hey, come on. Hey, that's a no-brainer to me. And then you talking about, bringing Melvin back too? If we don't, hey, without a doubt, Melvin Ingram to me is, I said, we needed this voice last year. And you could tell the dynamics of the defense changed in the locker room because he just brought in a veteran presence, had a veteran voice, and the things he was able to do out there on the field, I mean, it invigorated the defense. You could tell when guys were making a play, all of a sudden, whop, you know what I'm saying? Melvin would come in and hit a dude underneath his chin. You're like, woo, that's what you need. You need a guy like that. And so, shoot, I hope, man, we be able to get him back. Absolutely, man. I'm a big Melvin fan, man. No doubt about it. I think, like I said, with his presence, what he could bring, the energy he could bring to the team, the defense, especially with these young guys, because you got young guys here. So, same thing. All those guys, Kando, Dana, Kalafkis, all those guys, they need a guy like that they can learn from. Learn how to do it. Learn how to learn from a pro, a real pro, guy that's been there before, who come in and then just change, like I said, just the whole mindset. That's what they need. Last year, I think it was just the mindset of, the will and the want to, and he'll bring that to the table, man. And I tell you what, man, I like a veteran presence in the locker room, especially lost Honey Badger. Bringing him back will be absolutely essential. Absolutely essential.
So my question is, I know when we signed Ingram, you were texting me saying that we still maybe need one more edge rusher, or are you fine with bringing back just Ingram if he does end up coming back?
We bring Ingram back. I'll settle in it. I still want to see. Maybe they seeing something I'm not seeing. I ain't been out there. I'm gonna have to go out maybe to one of these OTAs or something and see what these guys are doing out there, right? Because if you're okay, and I guess they're thinking, because if they didn't think they was okay with what they had, on the team, the guys that's backing up, then they would have addressed it. That's the way I feel about it. So I think you still had to get a Melvin, Melvin here without a doubt, or a guy, veteran presence here that's going to be able to help out. So maybe they seen something in those, like Kando and Dana, all those guys on the outside. Maybe they'll see those guys. Maybe they know something that we don't. And so hopefully they do. And hopefully if they don't, they got another joke up the sleeve, to pull out. So, but if they bring Ingram back, I'll settle with it. I'll be good with it, man. Bring these guys out here to battle, man. They ready for the battlefield. Let's go.
And JPP played with Spax. He's still a free agent.
Yes.
He'd be a great addition. I mean, I think him and Ingram would be nice adds. Also, someone mentioned Ndamukong Suh. Suh would be a great guy that you could put inside and outside. And, we could say we're not the deepest at D-tackle either. So, I mean, we could, and that'd be a great add as well.
Adam, and I think we should address that, you know, D tackle, no doubt. So you can get Dominican Sue and one of those. Come on. Sue, yeah. Who are those guys? Hey, bring them. Open up the floodgates. Bring them out. Bring them. We want you. Come on in.
Talk about attitude change for our defense. Sue would be a great. I think it'd be kind of fun to have that kind of attitude on the D line.
Yes, sir. You need some of that nastiness, right? You just need it. Yeah. Just need that. Just need it. You know, stomp on a couple of fingers or whatever.
And I guess the last question for me, just talk about Lonnie Johnson's size. You kind of referenced it playing against big body receivers, but mm-hmm. What does it say to you that we kind of made this emphasis on the DBs in the draft, but like bigger guys, and then also Lonnie Johnson is kind of cementing, hey, this is the kind of look we're going for. We're going 5'11 plus guys. We're going big body guys who can tackle, and they're just big dudes, but bigger cornerbacks. What does it say to you about what we're trying to show in our defense?
I think it's just an intelligent pick. I mean, you got to be consistent in what you're thinking about, what you're trying to do, what you're going against on the other side. That's when I've said this before, and I said it on Twitter. I said, man, you got to address what you got on the other side of you. And so if you know you're sitting over here, you got, you know, Lamborghinis and all these other, you got to deal with that. You got to deal with that speed. You got to deal with that size. So you got to have, you know, guys that can combat that, you know. And if you're sitting over here and you're, you know, playing chess, right, you got to think about, how do you defeat your opponent? Okay. What do you do? So you can't come in with like little pieces playing against, you know, the queen and all the, you know, your power pieces, and you're just using pawns. Look, you got to bring, you know, the queen against the queen. You got to bring, you know, the bishop against the bishop. You know, you got to bring these things against these things. And so that's what it's all about, competing with what you have on the other side. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, if you think about it, that's what teams did with us. They address pass rush. They address, having guys that's going to get after Patrick, and they're getting guys that's going to be able to spy, get out and you know, work in, you know, eight man deep or whatever, you know, sending guys eight man back and stuff like that. Like, they had to adjust to what we were doing offensively. And so we had to do the same thing as well on the other side. So we're sitting there saying, like, look, you got Devontae Adams out here. You got Courtland Sutton. You got all these guys in the AFC. We got to have guys go against them. Our Joe got to be as good as your Joe or better. That's how it works. Bottom line, I can't sit there and watch my gate burnt all day, every day, and thinking about, well, Patrick Mahomes is going to score 50 points for us. No, we ain't doing that. We're not doing that. We can't have that. Ain't going to happen every game. So this is what we do. Go get the big guys. Go get the big guns. Go get the big dogs. So get the big dogs to chase at these cats. That's what I look at, man. So that's consistent with me as far as like what they wanted to address, and they've done that. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to get ready for the season, to be honest with you. Yeah. Who's going to be on the 53-man roster? But man, I see a lot of teams, because of what we addressed in the draft and what we get in the free agency and stuff like that, everybody's back on notice. Hey, everybody, boop, taking notes. Yep. Uh-oh, this is what the Chiefs did. So be ready. Before then, man, we just looked like the shell of our former selves. You know, they was like, man, come on, Chiefs. They ain't got nobody. They lost Tyreek Hill. Who they got now? They ain't got nobody. Okay. Brent Beach now. Here, over the head. We got you. Here go one more.
And if this pans out, like we said last week, I think we're going to be starting a trend here in the NFL where, like, you don't have to pay your top notch receiver $30 million a year. You can trade a lot, get a lot of assets, and build a solid team around them. And I think, yeah. I think we're setting that example.
Hey, man, I got to be a ceiling. It has to be. At some point, people's like, look, we are just not going to pay that money. But just, you know, it's what teams are going to do. Are they going to just unload that headache and that, you know, price tag onto somebody else? You know, so.
Yep. And someone will pay it too. And you know what? And that
player will pay it.
That player will be deserving of it. And a team will want that. You know, they want to put butts in the seats. They want to sell jerseys. There you go.
Right. No doubt about it. No doubt about it, man. You know, but some guys going to be thrifty about what they do. Brent Beach is going to be one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, as long as you have 1-5, I mean, you can do what we did, you know. So.
Right. They're going to pay that joker, and you should. So. Yeah.
which I don't understand why Tennessee did what they did with AJ Brown. I get the whole trying to, you know, get more parts around, but like, you know, you guys are competing. You guys are the one seed in the AFC last year. Now what are you doing though? You know, you're paying Tannehill, you're not paying Mahomes. You know what I mean? It's
right, right. But I mean, but you know, you go get a guy like AJ Brown, you get Treylon Burks. You know what I'm saying? I said, essentially, that's what you're doing, right? You're just basically getting a younger version of him, kind
you're
of.
You're hoping.
You're hoping. And you don't have to pay it at a pricey tag. Yeah. So, I don't know. I know Vrabel was a little upset with it, but, hey, yeah. Man.
It's going to be interesting around the AFC next year. I know everyone wants to say the AFC West, the Broncos are the team to beat in the AFC West. Everyone's been saying the Chargers are the team to beat for the last 5 years. I don't understand that, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see this year because I think it's going to – a lot of these experts and these pundits out there are going to be feeling dead wrong in what they've been saying over the last few months since the start of the offseason.
Look, all that is – despise and hate of the Chiefs. That's all it is. They don't want anybody else to win but Chiefs and the Mahomes. They don't want anybody else to win, right? I get it. Everybody gets tired of the guys winning the same thing over and over again. They want somebody new. And, you know, get same thing. They're tired of them winning up there with the Patriots. Yeah. Couldn't stand them winning all the time. You want somebody else coming in. So that's why we want to talk. Justin Herbert is being the best, or, you know, Josh Allen is being the best, and all that. You know, Joe Burrow is being the best. Oh, come on, man. Cut it out. We ain't going to do that. All right, y'all know what it is. So get your popcorn. Get everything ready, baby. It's going to be a hopping time in Arrowhead. Oh, I'm sorry, GHA or whatever that field is called. Yep. Arrowhead One Drive. So.
All right, fellas, well, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. We'll see you guys next week as we discuss rookie minicamp, because that's going to be everyone on top of everyone's minds heading to this weekend. So I'm sure there'll be reports that we can discuss from what we see on Saturday and Sunday this weekend.
Definitely.
All right, well, see you guys next brother. Week. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.